Cuba isn't at the summit of the Americas. The meeting is only open to democracies. But there have been kind words this week from Presidents Barack Obama and Raul Castro. And with the U.S. possibly relaxing travel rules to the Forbidden Island, Cuba could soon become a hot destination for American travelers.
One of the strange things about Cuba is that it's not set up at all like we're used to traveling.
That's Michael DeZayas. He wrote the Fodor's Guide to Cuba, and he's one of the four writers we talked to this week about what to expect in Havana if you're one of the Americans who will be eligible to visit the city for the very first time.
They have some gorgeous hotels there that have been around for a long time.
Literally the worst hotel room you would find in Miami is probably what you can expect in Cuba.
But perfectly comfortable and well-kept. Just maybe not all the comforts of home exactly.
They don't quite have the idea of service down. There's a famous expression in Cuba, it's called plan piyama, which means you're getting paid whether you go to work or not.
But if you're looking for something a little more interesting, one of the neat things about Cuba is that they offer something called casa particular.
These are basically B&Bs, guest houses, which local people can let out to foreigners. They're a lot cheaper, and basically you're staying in a Cuban home.
Which is what I recommend. You certainly shouldn't expect luxury, and I think you should probably just put out of your mind the idea of chic accommodations. There are no chic accommodations in Cuba at all.
You're going to see beautiful architecture in Havana, especially in Old Havana, Havana Vieja. That's basically the core of the original Havana.
Walking around the old city is phantasmagorical. There's nothing else like it.
It's very much preserved in its unique and old way. Sometimes it's a bit sort of run down because of lack of money, but that in some ways gives it an extra ambience.
There is a number of structures in Old Havana that have been restored. It's quite remarkable to see them juxtaposed right next to the decaying ones.
Beautiful colonial architecture, cobblestone streets, the nice high balconies. Unfortunately, a lot of it isn't in the greatest shape.
I have had the experience on more than one occasion of walking by a block when a building collapses. That can cause you to, you know, kind of jump back from the curb a bit.
The food scene in Havana, as in all of Cuba, is terrible.
The dining is okay.
This is actually the worst part of your trip to Cuba.
It's rice and beans and pork mainly.
We could not find beans anywhere.
I know people who thought that they were socialists, but after waiting 2.5 hours for their meal to arrive, were disabused of the entire idea. You can get good food, you can get good meals, but you must know where to go.
The paladares are pretty much your best bet, private-run restaurants.
Some of them are converted homes, and other ones are just a small room or two where people, you know, very industrious Cubans do their best to give you hospitality.
One of the great things in Cuba is the cabaret. Lots of ladies dancing, lots of lights, smoke machine, a bit Vegas-like in a sense. Music in Cuba is unbelievable.
It's really just a deeply ingrained part of the psyche, part of the genetics.
You can pretty much walk around anywhere in Cuba and you will just see incredibly gifted musicians sitting on the curb, sitting on the bench.
If there's music playing, somebody will just start dancing and there's no self-consciousness about it.
And that's one of the great pleasures of going to Cuba.
It's a really beautiful vibe.
And those Havana travel tips are from Lindsay Humphreys, editorial director of Fromers.com, Brendan Sainsbury of Lonely Planet, Michael DeZayas of Fodor's, and Anne-Louise Bardach, author of Cuba Confidential and the forthcoming book Without Fidel.